Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
The following program was previously broadcast.
We happen to be in the Midwest today in Indiana, in Muncie, Indiana, the site of Ball State University. And I'm here in the office of a professor of history, Kevin Smith, and we're going to talk about how his faith relates to his position here at the university. And Kevin, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
And how long have you been here at Ball State?
23 years. Came in 1991.
All right. And tell us a little bit about your background, how you ended up becoming a professor of history here, and maybe a little bit about what emphasis you have in the history department.
Sure. I grew up in suburban Cleveland, Ohio. I was born in 1962. I was raised in the church, the missionary church, actually. Went forward at a Billy Graham crusade in 1970 at Old Municipal Stadium. Any of you who attended Indians games back in, or Browns games back in the old days will remember that stadium and how it never filled for Indians games.
Okay. But I
grew up there and then went to college in the early 80s and then on to graduate school. Graduated with a PhD from Yale in 1990. And then came to Ball State in 1991. So I came from a Christian home, and I went to a religiously affiliated, but not really an evangelical, liberal arts college before getting my PhD. I would say I was raised, either consciously or unconsciously, to think that the only proper callings for a Christian were either missionary or pastor. But God developed a strong sense of vocational calling in me to be a professor of history. History was a love of mine from a very young age. I was always fascinated by it. My mom gave me books about it, and I just fell in love with the notion of story and the idea of telling stories, and just followed that passion. And So I went to graduate school and received a PhD. My areas of research are in American diplomacy, and then particularly American diplomacy in the years before and during the Second World War. And I've published in that area.
Great. And you mentioned Yale, one of your schools that you attended. And as we think of the Christian heritage in so many of our universities, it's a reminder that our faith is not static. Even as individuals, are we trusting Christ today fully as we should, or are we allowing other things to get in the way? And our universities, many of them were founded on strong Christian belief and to train Christian leaders, and many of them are far from that. But we encourage our listeners to pray for revival on the campus, that God might do a new thing in different places, and that leaders of universities as well as students would come to Christ. So you're here at Ball State University and in the history department, and this is a secular campus and not a Christian school. You have shared with me that you have a concern about the way parents look at sending their kids off to college, and you have a particular perspective that you'd like to share with people who are facing that decision. How do you deal with that these days?
Yes, I have a real passion about this issue. I'd like to talk about this in several ways. I'd like to talk about the role parents have in preparing their children for leaving the nest. Many of them will not go to college, but many of them will. And regardless of what kind of college they attend, a state university, a Christian college, or whatever, first of all, it is Christian parents' responsibility to ensure that their children know the basic truths of the faith, regardless of what type of school environment, homeschool, Christian school, public school. This is an obvious biblical command from Deuteronomy. It is our responsibility. I have three children of my own. It is our responsibility to ensure that they know the basic truths of the faith. Secondly, because we live in a culture where many people do not share the faith, we need to know why we believe what we believe. So parents also need to prepare their children by confronting them with the tough questions about our faith and making sure that their children have asked those questions themselves and wrestled with them and made their faith their own. Questions like, why does evil exist? Why does a sovereign God permit bad things to happen? Why does he permit these things to happen to supposedly good people? Because if we don't do that, they're going to be handed those questions by people who have a different worldview. And if they're not equipped to answer those, that's going to cause difficulties. So in the historical realm, for example, what are the perspectives on why terrible things in history occur? If we aren't ready for that, then we're going to do things like what happened after 9/11, when a prominent Christian leader said some very hateful things about why 9/11 happened and blamed sinners instead of taking a more gracious approach. There are other specific questions, like knowing why we believe the Bible is the authoritative word of God. Or when someone says, we all worship the same God, you need to know what are the similar traits of various religions, what would lead people to think something like that, as well as why they are different and what the exclusive claims of Christianity are.
Right. And we had Ravi Zacharias behind the microphone a while back, and he shared that, contemporary view is that religions are basically the same, but only in a minor way different. But he challenged that and said, in reality, religions are, in a minor way, they're the same, but in the major beliefs, they contradict each other and contrast each other, and they're not the same. And so, we need to be able to answer that question in a culture that doesn't see it that way.
That's right. And that requires preparation and education. So parents need to teach their children the objections that dissenters are going to pose, and be sure they understand them so that their children are equipped. I would say that failing to do so is a dereliction of duty. Four, whether the challenge comes at a secular university, or whether it comes from a rebellious spirit, or it's engendered by suffering and trials that may cause doubt, or some other source, your child will eventually express doubts. Trying to insulate them by not sending them to a secular university is not going to prevent them from expressing doubts at some point. It's far better that they come to you or to a trusted friend of yours when they are teenagers for their first rough wrestling match with tough questions. And I would argue this is especially important because the rising cost of university, and especially of private Christian colleges, means that many parents have to look at state universities as a realistic option, especially parents from single-income homes. At Ball State, we have more and more students who are homeschooled that I meet all the time who are coming here to university because, by definition, many homeschoolers have one income in their home. It's not inevitable that's the case, but that's often the case.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to afford college at a private college on one income. So if they look at state universities as possibilities for their children, okay, what does that mean? What's going on here? So Christian parents also need to clarify something else about what they teach their children.
But let me just interject here. The problem then, because we do hear of so many, and there are different studies that have shown that many, many young people, when they go off to college, mm-hmm. then stop attending church,
right.
and that they don't handle these properly, you're suggesting that the preparation was not done properly to prepare them for what they were going to face.
Well, I want to be careful with that because there are wonderful Christian parents whose children seem to walk away. And first of all, our story isn't over until it's over.
Right, sure.
There are many covenant children who walk away and appear to simply abandon the faith. And that is heartbreaking for parents. And they can tend to blame themselves. Please understand, I'm not in any way trying to blame parents. What I'm trying to do is to encourage, especially people who are a few years away from sending their kids to college, to think ahead and plan ahead and to undertake some of these things I'm saying. But secondly, there are things, regardless of what you do, there are challenges that parents are going to pose. And there are also, of course, always people who are going to come to Christ regardless of what their parents do. So it's not completely in the parents' hands in any way. Of course, God chooses and acts to save his people. I'm simply saying, this is my analysis on what our part as parents is.
And even the church figures in on that too.
Oh, yes.
Because the discipleship that the parents experience comes through their church relationship as well.
You know, we don't like to hear the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, but I would say it takes a church to raise a child, because it's not just the parents alone. It's the importance of Sunday school and quality Sunday school teaching, and it's also the youth group activities and all sorts of things that kids are exposed to. But you mentioned the attendance of church. When kids come to a university, at every city where there's a public university, there are Christian professors, there are Christian students, and there are Christian churches. And parents and students alike must look for them. Yale, where I went to graduate school, has a reputation for being a haven of liberalism, and that is well-deserved. When I was a graduate student there 30 years ago, we Christians looked for and found one another. There weren't many of us among evangelical believers, but we found one another. And we came from a variety of denominations and backgrounds. That in and of itself was an education. But we banded together and supported one another. So on the campus you're looking at for your child, there are organizations like CRU, which used to be called Campus Crusade, or maybe InterVarsity, or Navigators, or Reformed University Fellowship, and there's others. But more importantly, there are Bible-believing churches. Look for them. Make connections. Visit them with your child before leaving. Introduce your child to people there. Stress to your child the importance of attendance, and also, and this is crucial, find adoptive, quote-unquote, parents there. There are people eager to do so, people who have sent their kids away to other towns, to college, like I have, and who know that there are people there who are looking after my children, and we're eager and willing to look after the children that you're sending here in within our church body. So that's a really important component of that.
Great. And so I trust that among our listeners that this is a question that some are dealing with and will realize that we are in a day that the culture challenges our Christianity, and our, obviously the universities will do that. But a well-prepared child can have the options, and one who looks for fellowship and looks for churches can counterbalance the opposite.
That's right. You need a place of comfort. And also, I would argue, the transgenerational aspect of churches. Groups on campus ministry groups are great. But the reality is those are all people of the same generation. Young people need to be mentored. It's very clear in Paul's epistles that young people need to be mentored in the faith by the older generation. And that's more likely to happen in your attendance at a local church. And, you know, honestly, seeing families together, where do you see a model of the way a marriage and a family should work? Some of these things can be really valuable to young people as they're going through those years.
Great. And we're going to pause at this point.
Sure.
And continue our interview in our next segment. My guest for this broadcast has been Dr. Kevin Smith, a history professor here at Ball State University.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844. Or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.